from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Conversations about the future of journalism, and about newspapers in particular, are rarely optimistic affairs. But yesterday marked a potential turning point in that discussion. The Hellman Family Foundation, the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California, Berkeley, and KQED Public Media announced the formation of a new entrant into the local journalism marketplace, a nonprofit news organization that would provide original reporting and news content to the Bay Area. The goal is to cover stories that just aren't getting covered now that newsroom layoffs have taken their toll. We'll talk about that new effort and whether it can really change the direction of local journalism after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Yesterday, the Joint Economic Committee of Congress took testimony on the future of newspapers. Never a topic that engenders much optimism. A decline in ad revenues has triggered massive layoffs at newspapers around the country and threatened the existence of some major market papers, including the San Francisco Chronicle. But not long after that hearing concluded in Washington, another announcement was made here in San Francisco that outlined an alternative future for local journalism. The Hellman Family Foundation is providing $5 million in seed money to start a new nonprofit news organization. The foundation will partner with the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California, Berkeley, and KQED Public Media, and is in discussion with the New York Times. The new organization's goal? To do what journalism is supposed to do, shine a light on the workings of government and community life. How it will do that, how it can be sustained, and how this new organization may impact newspapers is what we're going to talk about during this first hour of Forum today. Joining us, Neil Henry, Dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at University of California, Berkeley. He's also the author of American Carnival, Journalism Under Siege in an Age of New Media. Dean Henry, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Here, too, is Jeff Clark, President and CEO of KQED Public Media and Northern California Public Broadcasting. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And Nicole Lecca is here, too. She's Board Chair for KQED and Northern California Public Broadcasting. Noelle, good morning.
Good morning.
And Carl Hall joins us, too. He's a former Chronicle reporter, a representative of the California Media Workers Guild. That's the union that represents reporters at the Chronicle and other local newspapers. Carl, good morning.
Hi, Dave.
We will also hear from Tom Rosenstiel, who directs the Project for Excellence in Journalism in Washington, D.C., a little bit later in the hour. So let's talk first about what this new entity will look like. Give us a description, if you would, Dean Henry, on what this new organization will actually be.
It's a online-focused venture in which we're joining forces of two very strong journalistic operations in the Bay Area, KQED, which is nationally distinguished as a provider of content in television, radio, and increasingly online. The School of Journalism, which for the last couple of years has launched major initiatives to build digital news sites for local communities in San Francisco and the East Bay as projects. Our Mission Local site is going terrifically well, as is the Oakland site, and we're set to launch one for the community of Richmond. It's a joint project in which there has been a real convergence of interests, people who are deeply concerned about the shrinkage in content due to the diminishing resources of the local newspapers, and people around the country, including the Bay Area, have been trying to figure out how to fill these gaps. This is a very noble project and one that offers a bright light, considering the darkness we've been in for some years. I think it's unique and could be a national model because of the various parties that are behind it and the vision and passion of a very committed civic leader like Warren Hellman.
And Jeff Clark, what will it actually provide in terms of what listeners, viewers, readers can tangibly hold on to? Is this an online product primarily?
This is primarily an online product, excuse me, that will really dovetail with what we're already doing on KQED Public Radio, what the dean and the folks over at the UC Berkeley School of Journalism are doing, And it brings new jobs, new journalists into the fray to work to set up this new online news service that's going to go into the nooks and crannies that have just been left behind by the downturn in journalism and the print media. And I think what's exciting about it for us is we're already seeing incredible talented stories and activities coming out of the J School over at Berkeley. We have a stellar news team here at KQED Public Radio and throughout our organization. And having a new entity that we can partner with to have beats that have been forgotten and to bring communities the kind of news and information to be better citizens, to be able to enjoy arts and culture and other news about their surroundings is really exciting for us because of the fact that it uses the 21st technology of the online interactive capability, but it also dovetails with traditional journalism in the best that it can possibly be.
Carl Hall, as a former Chronicle reporter and someone who's active with the union that represents newsrooms around the Bay Area, is this bittersweet for you in a sense? Does it signify hope in terms of journalism, but also signify in some ways yet another nail in the coffin of newspapers locally?
Well, I think newsrooms have to evolve, and we've sort of gone way past feeling sorry for ourselves or moping or wishing it, you know, just it's tempting sometimes to just sort of put the pillow over your head and wish the layoff announcements would go away, but they're not going to go away. The traditional big city print newspaper newsroom has got to change. And I think it is changing at the Chronicle and the Mercury News and all these traditional newspapers around here. They're certainly changing. And I think they'll probably find their footing and survive and start growing again. What we're talking about here is creating some pressure for quality. And I think basically give shape to the new newsroom. It's going to be increasingly not print focused. There will be a print element. We hope it's with the New York Times. I think eventually the shape of it will emerge. But it's essentially the core function of this newsroom is going to be to do what the others are not doing. The sort of central public interest journalism that is expensive and doesn't really command apparently a big market anymore.
But it can't, Noel, like a Borchera here at KQED, it can't be good for the Chronicle. This new effort is going to be developing this new alternative. The hope is that it will also have a print distribution, as Carl suggested, with the New York Times. For the Chronicle, that can't – people who read the Chronicle can't be – or people who work at the Chronicle even more so can't greet this with necessarily great optimism about what it says about their future, can they?
Well, I agree with Carl. I think it's really a bid for quality. I think if you work at the Chronicle and you're in journalism, it's got to be an exciting announcement that here is a group that is basically announcing new jobs in the Bay Area for journalists, for the staff who support them. So in my view, I think it's a very positive announcement. The Bay Area has a voracious appetite for news. As you know, we KQED-FM went from a mixed format in the 80s to a news and information service. And as a result of that, we are the most listened to public radio station in the country. We routinely beat New York in ratings on an absolute basis. And we are a much, much smaller metropolitan area.
In the Chronicle account of this morning, Jeff Clark, it's referred to as Hellman's Venture. whose venture is it?
It is UC Berkeley School of Journalism and KQED and whatever the name of the new entity is once that's established and it's branded. Certainly, Warren Hellman has been a catalyst and a stimulus, and he is providing the seed money to get us going, but there will be a very clear separation between Warren Hellman and any editorial activity in the same way that it is in the business that we've been in for 55 years here at KQED. I think Warren is a person who has great opportunity to help us and to help us get initial funding and some more of people that he runs in circles with to support the startup. But the bottom line is it certainly was Warren Hellman is a catalyst, but beyond that, it is going to be an independent journalism organization that has the same high standards that we exercise here at Northern California Public Broadcasting, And that has been part of the ongoing conversation. The editorial standards are going to be set so that they match up well with what we're doing and with what UC Berkeley School of Journalism is doing. And in the end, Warren will certainly get the credit for helping bring everybody together and providing seed money, but it is beyond that, it's going to be its own independent journalistic entity.
We should note that we did invite Mr. Hellman to participate in the discussion this morning, but he was unable to do so. Neil Henry, on this question of its impact on newspapers in general, you've written about this in your book, American Carnival: Journalism Under Siege in an Age of New Media. Do you see this as being an inevitable part of the inevitable process, that newspapers are in time, local newspapers, not going to be the lead for journalism in our area, and this is one more step in that process?
I'm not sure. I tend to agree with Carl, I think, that newspapers down the road, I'm an eternal optimist, will adapt. I know it seems like newspapers are in free fall now, and it is certainly a tragedy when I consider all the people I know from my generation who are no longer, who work at the top of their games but no longer have a place to work, and increasingly my own students who I've trained over the last 10 years who are losing their jobs at most of these papers in the Bay Area. But I agree with Carl on the point that the more pressure there is to bring to bear on covering institutions and communities and neighborhoods and finding new ways to engage audiences in the media will, in time, improve the quality and energy of other journalistic organizations, including newspapers. This is one of the most exciting things as far as we're concerned at Berkeley, because it's not just the Graduate School of Journalism that we are going to bring to bear on this project. I mean, we are at one of the great public research universities in the world. And when we consider the possibilities of collaborations with engineering and information in the business school and others on campus to collaborate and seek new innovations in this field in support of quality journalism, those kinds of advances can just lift the tide of all boats, not just in the Bay Area but around the country, which is really what's terribly thrilling about this for all of us.
Neil Henry, Dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California, Berkeley. We're joined now, too, by Tom Rosenstiel. Tom is the director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism in Washington, D.C. Tom also testified at the hearing I referenced at the beginning of this program on the future of newspapers for the Joint Economic Committee before Congress yesterday. Tom, what's your view of this as you hear about, read about this new entity here in the Bay Area? You're someone who grew up here, know the media landscape in the Bay Area. How significant do you see it, not only for local journalism here in the Bay Area, but as a potential model for how journalism can go forward in this country around the nation?
Well, the thing that is the first thing to understand is that the largest news organization in virtually every community, perhaps literally every community in the United States, is the local newspaper. Even though 54% of Americans say they read a newspaper on a regular basis, actually far more than that get their news from newspapers, because much of what is, not all, but a significant portion of what is appears on local television and local radio can be traced back to originating in newspapers. Even much of what's on wire services is called from local papers around the country. And we're now at a point, because the revenue model for newspapers, more than the audience, it's the revenue model for newspapers that's collapsing. We're at a point now where 50%, in some cases more, of the news-gathering capacity in these newspapers is now gone. And it's more acute in some markets than in others. Actually, the papers that were somewhat malnourished, that were underserving their markets, have suffered more. And the Chronicle, because of the JOA and some other factors, is a newspaper that had lower penetration, fewer reporters per subscriber, et cetera, and was underserving its market. And it's as a consequence, suffered more rapidly than other papers in some other cities. So the idea that people with a vested interest are trying to figure out how to create more news-gathering capacity in the community is not only something that is occurring in a lot of places, but it is exciting and it's necessary. I think as citizens, we have a vested interest not in any particular institutions surviving, but in this idea of news gathering capacity and news gathering capacity that adheres to, at least in my mind, certain values. And that those values would be independence, a dedication to accuracy, that the goal of the journalism is to inspire public consideration of events rather than to see a certain outcome or to see a certain faction prevail. These are values of old journalism, and I think we have a vested interest, since these values sort of came from the marketplace, in seeing that they transfer over to whatever our news-gathering ecosystem looks like in the future.
Tom Rosenstiel directs the Project for Excellence in Journalism in Washington, D.C. Nicole Lecca, board chair at KQED and Northern California Public Broadcasting. You hear Tom describe those values, that what counts in the end is covering those topics that matter to a community, whatever the delivery mechanism is. What do you think will change? I mean, what will we get? What will news consumers receive that they're not receiving now that speak to those values that Tom was describing?
Basically, what news consumers will receive that they're not receiving now is coverage of, our local government, our local city government, areas of civics, education, health policy, that just simply have there's been a huge decline in that coverage. If you look over the past 5 years, there's been articles about civic engagement have declined twice as fast as articles about just pure entertainment in our local papers. So we are really looking to re-engage Bay Area citizens with their community and with the things that matter.
Give us an example, Carl Hall, from your days at the Chronicle of what's not happening now. What are the stories that are being missed, as Noel Lecca suggests, that would change now? What's a story that would get covered from now, a month from now, that isn't getting covered now?
Well, I think one of the best examples is in my own specialty, science and medicine.
Yeah.
Sabin Russell, I think, is one of the best healthcare writers in the country on infectious diseases. Nobody's better. Swine flu happened, and Sabin was not covering that story.
Hmm.
I wasn't there. Probably not too many people missed that. But we had day after day of coverage. And the people there, Aaron Allday, did a fine job. David Perlman is the dean of science writers. He's still there. It's not that it's completely blinked out, but I know what's not there.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that the public really suffered when Sabin was not working on that story. I mean, there were Sundays when I was thinking, you know, this is the day that Sabin would have had a good, solid, long story analyzing with nuance and context and insight and looking to the next step ahead. That's just not there.
How empty is the Chronicle newsroom right now, literally? I mean, what was the size of the reporting staff at in its glory, and what is it now?
Well, you know, the newsroom, we used to have 560 people when the old Examiner merged with the Chronicle. Now it's down to, I just looked the other day, a couple days ago, we have 141. That's still bigger, and Tom has pointed this out. It's still going to be bigger than anything we're going to do with this nonprofit. And it's not that people should feel like the Chronicle is going to go away. It's still a very good paper, and it's going to probably get better because of our efforts here. But there are people that Steve Rubenstein, for instance, is such a joy to read, and Kim Kolmanich, Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer. There are so many names that I could just list that are not there. It's sort of like, well, let's focus on what is there. And it feels like sometimes, people keep wanting us to write the Chronicle's obituary, which is premature. I just think what's important here is that we are now creating some counter pressure to the pressure to cut quality. That's all been in that direction. It's gone too far.
We probably each, Jeff Clark, have some favorite writer at the Chronicle or the Merc or wherever that's no longer there. Is part of what your hope for this would be that some of those figures, some of those brighter stars that Carl Hall was describing will return in this entity?
I think the opportunity is there to bring people into the mix who have these incredible skills. That's going to be up to the management team that gets hired. I think that's one of the positive things about the downturn we've had is the the range, the depth, the quality of journalists that are available for this organization here in the Bay Area and other places is extraordinary. A sidebar note, Dave, you might remember if you've studied your history, the demise of radio was predicted in 1948 when television began. So it seems to me that what we do is going to be additive to what we're doing and what the J School is doing. It's going to be a different kind of coverage. My analogous observation is we see the story of what's happening in city council or down at City Hall here in San Francisco when there's a controversy. But we don't see the underlying things that may be going on that affect our daily lives. Or we're not looking at the court systems in ways where policies get changed that we can cover those kind of things in this new entity on an ongoing basis. So there's a storyline that goes out for a long period of time. Carl's analogy about the H1N1 virus is a perfect example. You know, when you have good journalism going on, and we've done our own things with our Health Dialogue series about it, you can keep people abreast of all the developments that are going on. And that's really what newspapers have done over their history and why those of us, certainly in my generation, have used the newspaper on an ongoing basis and still do. The problem is we have a younger generation that doesn't read the newspaper, that doesn't watch television. They have their own way of getting information, and they may go online to get it at SF Gate or the Mercury News site, and our hope is they will come to our site for news that isn't there in the other places.
Jeff Clark, CEO and president of KQED. Sorry, who was trying to get in there?
That's Neil. I'm sorry.
Neil, go ahead.
Interrupt. Yeah. I just wanted to follow up on Tom's comment. I don't know if he's still on the line, but he's exactly right about newspapers still having extraordinary reach. I mean, the readership in online newspapers is extraordinary. SFGate.com, for example, is one of the most trafficked sites in the country. The problem is that news gathering operation that provides the real news content is shrinking considerably, and that 50% figure that Tom quoted is exactly right. And I just wanted to add one more thing from
my
vantage.
I might, can I just hold you just there, if I might,
sure.
Neil Henry, because we're going to lose Tom Rosenstiel in just a minute, and I want to get one more comment from him before we lose him, and then we'll come back to you after the break, Neil Henry. But Tom, before you leave us, can you see any way that this is good for the San Francisco Chronicle or for the San Jose Mercury?
Yeah, I can. One of the things that, one of the questions is, will these entities compete or collaborate? And there'll probably be, I think, if it follows the pattern that we're seeing in other places, some combination. But the idea that quality is derived entirely from competition now is somewhat obsolete. Consider in Ohio, for instance, the 8 newspapers in that state, the major metros in that state, now basically collaborate on state news. They compete on some key areas, but all of the work that is produced by any of those newspapers goes into a common database, and any one of them can run any story from any of the papers. This is a way that they've basically tried to compensate for the diminished resources that them have in their newsroom. And I think that the idea that these news entities that are engaged in repertorial media, in trying to find out what's going on in the community, are at some point going to collaborate as much as they're going to compete.
And Tom, I'm sorry.
They have the best interest in each other.
Yeah, sorry. We have to leave it there. We'll come back in just a moment, talk more about this new entity and what it portends for journalism in the Bay Area when we return. We'll open our phone lines, too, and get your comments. 866-733-6786 is the number. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, a new journalism entity here in the Bay Area, a partnership between the Hellman Family Foundation, the University of California, Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism, KQED Public Media, and the possibility of an additional print arm through a Bay Area edition of the New York Times. We're joined this hour to talk about that by Jeff Clark, who's the president and CEO of KQED, Noel Lecca, who's the board chair for that same organization, Carl Hall, who's a former Chronicle reporter and a representative representative of the California Media Workers Guild, and Neil Henry, dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at UC Berkeley. We're interested in your thoughts on this, too. How do you greet this news this morning of this new journalism organization here in the Bay Area? What would you like to see it do that you think perhaps is an uncovered story right now in the Bay Area? Here's the number if you want to join us. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Let's go right to our calls, hear what our listeners have to say about this new organization this morning. Richard joins us first in Sunnyvale. Richard, go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. I'm very excited about this new entity that you guys are putting together. Kudos to the effort here and to Hellman for helping with it. My question is whether you guys are putting together an entity that's going to use fact-based journalism. That is, you put the facts on the table and then have the discussion, or are you looking at the he said, she said opinion-based journalism that we have way too much of? I'll take my answer off the air.
Richard, thanks for the call. Neil Henry, why don't you take a look at that? You were going to try to get in a comment before the break, but I'm interested also in this question that Richard raises, because one thing about nonprofit journalism, public broadcasting in particular, is that they don't necessarily editorialize or have an op-ed page. Some would say that's a good thing, as Richard, I think, is suggesting. On the other hand, maybe that might be something that would be missing from this. How do you see that?
To follow up on Nicole's description and Jeff's as well, this is, the ideal is professional journalism. Professional journalism is fact-based, driven by balance, strong news-gathering skills, interviewing skills, contextual, intellectual endeavor in which all sides of an issue are explored and that you deliver the news in as unvarnished and clear a fashion as possible to the public. Opinion should not be a part of what this endeavor is going to be. In fact, KQED is prescribed from opinionating. We believe in that, and we believe it's important because this is the best way that we can sustain values in this endeavor. And I just wanted to add as a follow-up before the break, because we were getting into some really interesting things. And I just wanted to remind everyone that this is a deeply human story that we are experiencing. And I see these stories every day that Carl referred to, of terrific writers, reporters who are experts in their field, unable to contribute content for the American public. One example is a student, one of my first students at the school, who became one of the distinguished immigration writers in the region, who lost her position because of the downsizing just this year. Well, I brought her back, and now she's teaching a new generation, teaching a class devoted to Mexico, which she became expert in terrific reporting, presaging on the border all of the drug violence that's taking place. And she's about ready to take a class under a Carnegie grant we got to Mexico to do reporting for our digital news sites. Another student, Lin Junfan, who was from China, really inspired us in our development of these neighborhood sites because she took on the city of Albany 2 years ago just by storm, a young woman from China who used Albany as sort of a microcosm of America to learn about American life. And she asked for a website. And this website, in her coverage of this city, just the traffic was astonishing. Nobody was writing about Albany. And by the time she left, there was tremendous sadness in the community, knowing that after 2 years, this local site that she built, maintained, and dedicated herself to was going to end. These are the kinds of inspiring things that we are building on and that we hope to bring to the endeavor.
It also brings up the question of sustainability. Neil Henry mentioned, Noelleka, this site in Albany, which did get some attention, these hyper-local sites. But when that individual left, then that site went away. $5 million will last for a while, certainly. But how do you sustain this in the long run? Because throughout the history of public broadcasting in particular, we see efforts that start and then fade in time. That's been true at KQED, true all around the country. How does this continue? How does this not just be something that'll be good for a few years?
Well, Dave, that's one of the reasons we've spent 5 months in planning this. We have really been concerned about sustainability. And one of the things that we have built into this has been that it has to be sustainable. It's one of the reasons for the nonprofit model. That's one of the reasons that we are looking to foundations for funding. There are a number of national foundations right now who are very concerned about the state of journalism. So to basically assist in the seed funding that we already have from the Hellman Family Foundation. We have a model that includes some subscription revenue and some advertising revenue for the online site. So sustainability has been key to this whole project. We did not want to basically announce anything or start anything that we didn't feel could stand on its own.
The central element here is a multi-channel format. So you leverage the content into as many delivery vehicles as you can think of. So we have palm-held devices now. We have Kindles. We have people's laptops. And we have a printed element. And we have a TV and radio. So the idea, I think, will be to try and get as much out of that reporting as possible. And I'm sure that the KQED fundraising apparatus and the donors and subscribers and foundations far beyond Warren are going to rally to this. Because no matter what your point of view politically or any other point of view or what your particular interest is, everybody has an interest in quality journalism.
Dave, I'll add
Jeff
in.
Clark.
You know, I think the model we've built in public broadcasting and here in the Bay Area over 55 years with KQED television is if you deliver content and service that people find relevant in their lives, a certain percentage of them will support it. And my sense is just as people support, and of course we're doing KQED Public Radio Pledge Drive right now, and people are supporting wonderfully, at points along the way, the opportunity will be there either online or in some form to be able to support this project independently of people supporting KQED, and it will grow and prosper if we do it well.
Just to underline that point, Jeff, because people may be wondering if they're phoning in their pledges later today, where the money goes here. These are separate entities. So people who pledge this morning are pledging to KQED, not to this new entity. There will be a wall between those things?
That's absolutely correct. It doesn't mean we won't use the capabilities we have and the history we have to be able to help raise money for the new 501c3, but it will be its own standalone organization, able to raise its own resources. But as Carl said, the secret value is that we will have content moving across the landscape. Folks who are working over in the new news project online will have content that will come over to KQED and be reversioned for radio or television or online use in our format and way. And we'll be delivering content to the new entity's website where, again, it will be tweaked to better serve that audience. And in the long haul, it is about people getting what they want and being informed in a way that they feel is valued. And if you think about it, we're looking very conservatively at how that will roll out. But 10% roughly of the people who listen to KQED Public Radio support it. The other 90% get it, and they enjoy it, and they don't need to support it. And on the television side, it's 10% on the TV side, about 12% on the radio side. And I think this model will work the same way, and we're looking much more conservatively than that for user-supported donations.
But if you look at the current economic environment and how difficult it has been and how trying it's been for the news media in particular, not just newspapers, but public broadcasting entities as well, including this one. KQED went through its own layoffs earlier this year. As one emailer just pointed out, KQED wound up dropping its local morning newscasts. So it's a difficult time. How will this help that? Will it help restore the muscle of KQED itself?
I think we see that as an element that we're hoping to build into this, that we may see morning newscasts coming back. We may see new features. As you know, this story broke last night on California Money at 6:04, which was a brand new service that we've started this year. And I think there are other elements that will come forward as we develop the products coming out of the new entity that will allow us to have a much more robust news service that's already a stellar service today, but it will improve it and be additive, but it will bring a wider swath of service and reporting to the Bay Area. And that, I think that's the other thing. This is a very unique market in the way in which people really are interested in what's going on and they do pay attention.
Neil Henry.
This is Neil. I'm sorry. Yep. I wanted to add, I would not underestimate the power and devotion of people of means who would be inspired to contribute to this, not just individuals, but also foundations and other donors. And I'll give you just a very brief example. Building on the work we were doing in our reporting classes a couple of years ago, we made a grant to the Ford Foundation, which was relatively modest compared to the donation that Warren Hellman is giving. Out of that grant, we were able to revolutionize our curriculum to incorporate multimedia skills training and to begin to build these digital sites. We got additional donors who found what we were doing, were inspired by it, and gave us money for for fellowships and scholarships for students to carry on this work throughout the winter break, spring break, summer break, so that the sites could be sustained. Building on that, we were able to get two endowed chairs at the heart of this program that total $4 million, one for new media, another for community reporting, by individuals who cared deeply. This is what we see with this convergence with KQED, we see as a natural progression in a kind of building momentum that foundations care about, that individuals care about. And when you talk to people at Ford or Carnegie or the Knight Foundation, which is really critical to this going forward, I can't tell you how excited the messages have been over the last day or so.
Neil Henry, Dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California, Berkeley. Email from Lewis, who writes in, this project sounds promising, but I wonder about the coordination problems. The flip side of bringing together the assets of these institutions is that consortia often turn out to be unwieldy to run effectively. How will you avoid the too many cooks problem? Carl Hall?
Well, it's a separate 501c3, which is going to have its own management team. And it's really crucial that that management be the top talent that is out there. I think some people, some really top people, are going to be really interested in this. All the way down the line, by the way, the reporters have to be the best. Everybody over there, the technology people, the money people, the business side people, they all have to be the best. And we did not create it as a department within some other institution, I think deliberately to try to create sort of an entrepreneurial innovation culture. The Guild, for instance, some people have asked me if we're going to be a part of this. Is this going to be some old line newspaper Guild, contract with, 1940s language? I don't think so. It's up to the employees. But if I have anything to say about it, it's going to be an innovative, entrepreneurial, success-oriented entity that's going to basically try to do everything right, start over, create, a culture of success and experimentation. And the idea that it's going to be overladen with bureaucracy and multiple, giant boards getting in the way of everything, I think that would be the death of it. And we all see the need to avoid that.
Here's another interesting question. It comes from Lisa, who writes, as a listener and subscriber to KQED and a journalist, I'm excited about this new collaboration. However, I hope this venture will be less timid than NPR in general. Noel?
Interesting that NPR is viewed as timid. I think that we're lucky to be in the Bay Area again. We are a community that's willing to take risks. This is a risk-taking venture, obviously, at a time when everyone else is laying off journalists. We basically have said we're creating new jobs in the Bay Area. So I think the very fact that we're forming this venture at this time shows that there's a risk-taking attitude about it. And, our intention is not to be timid. Our intention is to cover the news factually as it happens and keep our citizens informed.
Yeah, timid. We're creating the new newsroom. I mean, this is bold. This is the most exciting thing anywhere in the country, and I'm pretty familiar with the other experiments out there. This is basically a big step ahead with a sustainable model to reinvent the big city newspaper newsroom in the online milieu. And it's just, I think it's just so important that it take risks. That's sort of built into the DNA of this adventure.
Let's hear from a couple more listeners. We're running already a bit short on time, and I should get a couple of other of our listeners engaged in our conversation. Hugh in Oakland, go ahead with your quick question, please.
In a San Francisco media-centric area, and perhaps Berkeley now with the addition of the university, how will you be covering Oakland and some of the positive things coming out of Oakland, unlike all the negative things that we hear in the traditional news?
Hugh, thanks. Neil Henry, you want to take that?
Sure. I would encourage the listener to visit, well, I have to give a caution about this. Visit oaklandnorth.net, which is one of the neighborhood local sites that we are developing, in which the students are doing tremendous work in revealing the true face and life and culture of Oakland, and also missionlocal.org. The cautionary note is, though, that after this announcement was made last night, we have suffered a crash in our server due to a huge surge in traffic from around the country to the site. So they'll be back up again in a couple of hours. So that's one source I would encourage the listener to go to.
Another email coming in. I applaud this announcement, but I find it ironic that an organization that basically abandoned its focus on the Bay Area over a decade ago will be participating in this new news organization that is supposed to focus on the Bay Area. I'm optimistic, but it remains to be seen if KQED can stay focused on serving the local market. Jeff Clark?
Well, I don't know where that's coming from, to be honest. I've only been here 7.5 years, and it seems to me that KQED Public Radio and what we're doing with This Week in Northern California and other products that we put out in our way of programming and service more than cover the region and the communities we serve. So I'm a little bit baffled by that, but I think the answer really is that we're going to be out there covering the kind of stories that just you're not going to see on your local television news, or you're not going to see in the newspaper as prevalently in our arena, because a lot of that's already being covered. It's really what can we cover that people currently aren't getting that brings value, and that also tells the story behind the news, as we've learned to do very well in public broadcasting. So for folks who are disappointed that we may not be covering as much as we did many years ago, we're just going to work harder to ensure that they're happier about it going forward.
And to Pat, who joins us in Berkeley. Pat, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to say that I hope in this new endeavor that the folks keep their eye on the ball in terms of the really smart, well-educated, high-income people who live in the Bay Area. I moved here in the early 90s. After having lived in New York and Chicago and Boston, and I couldn't believe the quality of the Chronicle and the editorial judgment that went into the kinds of stories that were put on it. And my peers felt the same way. We felt abandoned by the editorial coverage that we saw there, so much so that I was amused when I was watching The Simpsons one night and there was a story of parodying the news, and who did they use? It was the Chronicle, and the headline was, "Be Caught in Sting." And for a long time, I felt as though I wasn't served by this area, by any good news gathering. And it seemed to me that there's a thirst for this and a hunger for this. And I think also an opportunity to really do some great local journalism to complement what's going on elsewhere.
Thanks. Carl, you want to take that? Because you were also reminding us, which I think is also appropriate, of the many good writers that are at the Chronicle.
Well, I have this deep, irrational love for the Chronicle, and I always wanted to work at the Chronicle. I still love the Chronicle. I mean, I use Chronicle as an adjective, you know, that's a very Chronicle way to look at things. There's a certain way about the Chronicle that does require sometimes a sense of humor. Maybe you don't take yourselves quite as seriously as the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times if the caller is talking about those fine newspapers. The Chronicle has its faults. They're serious faults. We haven't been as serious about investigative journalism or local serious news coverage as we probably should have been. But we have this sort of way about it. The paper still has this tone and this level of sophisticated elan and love of life. And it's just a joy to read, and it's on its good days. I think the staff has been really decimated lately, demoralized even. And I'm hoping that this good news, this is really good news, that somebody's, as Noel has said, is hiring journalists. We put on our website today, mediaworkers.org, the headline is "Journalists Dry Your Tears." I hope it's taken as a sort of a breath of fresh air in that newsroom. You sort of see a little blue sky opening up up there, and maybe it'll open up wider. Maybe the Chronicle will see the value of hiring some more people back, expanding maybe, putting a little more effort into meeting the needs of those, like the person that just called. People do appreciate quality. There is a market here for quality. That's why the New York Times sells I think, more papers in the Bay Area than just about any place outside of New York. And I think this is exactly the market that we're going to try to reach, as well as expanding the reach into the areas like younger people that don't think they even need a newspaper, is they just get it off their Twitter feeds. But we're going to have Twitter feeds too, right, Noel?
Indeed.
Right. We have to pause in just a moment for, guess what, a pledge break. But before we go to that bit of business, Noel Lekas, just sum up for us what you see as the hopes for this organization, as Carl was describing, and the kinds of news that will be covered that can make a difference to the place that is the Bay Area.
The hopes for this is, you know, really is through the Bay Area News Project to be the best quality of journalism that can be provided to cover the 6 to 8, you know, greater Bay Area counties. And as Carl said, you know, we bring the quality of KQED public media to it. We bring the quality standards and ethics of journalism of UC Berkeley's journalism school. And in our, you know, negotiations and discussions with the New York Times, you know, that's one of the reasons that we've been in deep discussion with them. I think they appreciate the journalistic integrity.
We must pause for a moment. Noel Lekas joined us this hour. She's board chair for KQED, along with Jeff Clark, the CEO and president of KQED in Northern California Public Broadcasting, along with Neil Henry, the dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at UC Berkeley, and Carl Hall, a reporter, former reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, who also is a representative of the California Media Workers Guild. We will pause and come back and talk more in a moment. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Continuing our conversation now on the future of this new organization and what it will mean for media here, I'm interested in talking about the kind of journalism, I guess, that will be put forward. Neil Henry, you were quoted as saying that this will be a new model for journalism that will foster civic dialogue for participation, which sounds a bit like what used to be called civic journalism. Do you see this entity as doing something different than what is considered traditional journalism, focusing a light on the workings of government and community life?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the digital age presents so many different ways for in audiences, journalists, citizens, to even government officials to engage with one another, to listen to one another, to communicate. That is built into the dynamics of this evolving era. At the same time, there's got to be at the center of all of this a professional heart to information and news gathering and dissemination to the public. There will be new things that certainly we are going to try at Berkeley. I believe, for example, there is tremendous opportunity in small businesses. Small businesses in the Bay Area are not represented in the digital realm. 70% are not represented in any way. We believe there's tremendous research and development that could go on there, involving everything from social networking to new applications that could help drive a new revenue support model for journalism. That's one interesting area that some of our faculty and also people at the Business and Engineering School are interested in. I believe, going back to civic journalism, I think journalism dedicated to the public interest so that people that we ourselves as the people can improve our lives. That's what I mean by civic journalism.
Yeah. And to John in Napa. John, go ahead.
Hi. I've been a freelance journalist covering Napa County for about 20 years, including 3 years as a reporter for the San Elena Star. And I'm wondering if this new entity will be open to story queries from freelancers, and if so, what the pay rate might be.
John, good practical question. Carl Hall?
Oh, beyond your wildest dreams of avarice, sir. I think already on our website, it's... I'd probably get this wrong. Is it BayAreaNewsProject.org?
Bay Area News Project, BayAreaNewsProject.org.
Well, there is an email address on there, I noticed, because I put it on our website too. Is if you want to apply for a job or to contribute in that way, you ought to just send an email, and I guess somebody will answer those emails.
There are eyes opening, I think, around the Bay Area this morning. Carrie writes in, as a former print journalist who would like to get back into the game, will this lead to actual paying jobs?
Yeah, you better believe it. Noel's going to hire somebody right now.
No, I'll let go ahead.
Now, in answer to the gentleman calling from Napa, one of the things that we have included in all of the financial modeling for this is, you know, ample use of freelance journalists, because we realize that, you know, freelancers provide a unique perspective.
And I think, Dave, we also see the opportunity to partner with community-based journalists and newspapers and other folks who are doing the kind of reporting the gentleman talked about. The whole idea is to really bring stories from the communities where people live, right down to the grassroots, and to vet it in a way that is credible, solid information that people can make use of. So I think the opportunity for partnership, what we're doing with the folks at UC Berkeley Journalism School and other partners, is just we'll continue to expand this in a way that, as we have done in KQED Public Radio across the state of California, throughout this region, the whole idea is to engage people who can help us provide
and, you know,
better journalism.
The new part is the internet is full of all kinds of, you know, homemade, you know, citizen journalism, okay, what you might call citizen journalism. I think what we're going to try to do is bring in the professional core, as Neil put it, the heart, the dedication to truth, the craft, and that's a paid function. I think journalists are, we're going to have people paid as they deserve to be, like professionals, like you are.
We've talked around the edges. Sorry, I just want to get in one last question on this. We've talked around the edges a bit of the New York Times in discussion with the New York Times as the print channel for this. When will we know that, Jeff Clark? When will we know if the New York Times indeed will be part of this organization?
I think we're close to having everything discussed and nailed down, and the idea will be that we can have a local insert in the New York Times on a regular basis. May not be daily in the beginning, but the I think the idea is that we're going to have an opportunity to reach this incredible audience they have in the Bay Area, as well as match up with their journalistic standards. And we'll keep you posted, Dave.
Neil Henry, sorry I had to cut you off, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Thanks, Neil, very much for being part of our conversation this morning. Thanks, too, to Noel Lecca, the board chair for KQED, Jeff Clark, the CEO, and Carl Hall, a representative of the California Media Workers Guild, former reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle. We heard earlier also from Tom Rosenstiel, who directs the Project for Excellence in Journalism. Forum is produced by Tina Lauerberg, Judy Campbell, and Kevin Guillory. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer, Danny Bringer. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.